I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I'm Jake.
I'm Michael.
And this is the Imposter Syndrome Podcast. Yeah!
I was ready this time.
Yes, you were. I like it. We're continuing today with the story so far.
Yep.
My Hero Academia.
Yes. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Copyright reasons.
I know. I wish... I wish I could play Yusei Run. You like, come on.
We don't want to get fucked.
Yeah, I know. Like, even cover versions get fucked. Like, you know, it's stupid.
Well, we appreciate all the support on the latest episodes. Mm-hmm. And last episode, the first episode did well. Last episode is current episode, excuse me, is out now. And now we have this one.
Yay!
We left off with the Todoroki internship drama fiasco.
Yeah. Well, before we begin, I would like to state now, we're delving into manga territory.
Right, yes.
We're going into black and white and still images. So if you have not caught up on manga...
Get out.
Get out. Go read it and then come back.
Or if you don't care, you know, stay... Stay tuned with us.
Yeah, that's fine too.
That's fine. We like your company. So we're getting into the nitty gritty of the climax of the story.
Yes, it's like you've talked about on the last two episodes. We're witnessing now the beginnings of the end of Hero Society.
And this is like the clear cut drop, the mic drop.
Yeah.
So Michael, why don't you take it away?
Alrighty, so we briefly mentioned this at the end of the last podcast, but it's fitting to start here with our boy Hawks.
I agree.
So we talked about last time that Hawks is an interesting hero, where it's like he's hero, yeah, but like the stuff that he's doing where you're kind of like, oh, that's a little sus.
Well, let's just say that Hawks, just to reiterate, Hawks is a double agent right now for Hero Society and for the villains. And he's slowly like trying to prove himself to the villains so he doesn't get caught. And also trying to give information to the heroes without getting caught.
Yeah.
But you get this overarching sense of dread that something is coming.
Right.
And there's a time limit of 3 months, I believe.
Yes. Around that time. But, so we start off now with you are getting more details of how exactly Hawks is operating and gaining trust. And you find out this man is delivering the body of Best Genius.
Yes, so the number 4 pro hero, I believe it is, right?
Well, at this point, now he's number 3.
He's number 3, but he was number 4. Yeah. So the number 3 best hero is now deceased, apparently, by the hands of Hawks himself.
Yes, and it's like... I know you're trying to convince, but like, dude, like,
I know it's kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah.
And they tested it too. They said,
yeah. So then, we kind of now go to, I guess, the start, right?
Yeah. So this would be considered the war arc,
right?
So basically what Hawks has found out is that Shigaraki, the main leader of now the Paranormal Liberation Front, which is the League of Villains and Meta Liberation Army together, so the Paranormal Liberation Front, is gaining speed in terms of its using its social media presence, its resources to gain developments. We know that heroes and villains and civilians alike all belong to this organization. So there's already some form of distrust, right?
Right.
And we realize that Shigaraki himself is being taken care of by Dr. Udaraki, right?
Yeah.
And he has a 3-month timeline to where Shigaraki will be quote unquote complete.
Yeah.
So the heroes need to act before that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a plan that sets in motion.
So yeah, it's basically a giant ass raid with like literally everyone is here sort of thing. Like literally every single hero is on the scene. Well, the heroes who are in the know are on the scene.
Yes, or that are in the know.
Like I don't know if you remember his name. It's the liberation hero.
I know you're talking about who gets caught in the streets.
Yeah.
But I don't know his name.
Yeah. He looks like Captain Quark from Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, so there's a random fodder hero. You can continue.
Yeah, and it's great because like he's out in the streets like, where is everybody? Like, what's going on? And he gets immediately tackled. And it's like, yeah, we know you're not part of it sort of thing. And I mean, basically, raid goes down on the villain's headquarters and it is like fast and hard of just like everyone just busts in.
Yeah.
On, well, it's the liberation base.
So there's two fronts that they attack on. First of all, like we mentioned, they sabotage this thing or devise a plan that the heroes that are in the know that they know are clean and know about this plan, and those that don't end up revealing themselves as Liberation Army people or Paranormal Liberation Front.
Yeah.
And therefore they get caught, right?
Right.
Now there's two raids on two fronts. There's a section of heroes that's going towards the hospital where Dr. Udaraki works, where he has his Nomu labs and where Shigaraki's being held. And then there is this mansion in the woods where the rest of the army is. So there's two levels to it in that regard.
Not yet. So Hawks is with Twice at this moment.
Yes, so Hawks is actually within the Paranormal Liberation Front mansion, and he understands the raid's taking place. Today's the day.
Yeah, and he's with Twice, and Twice, like, he's, because I think, what was it, he's supposed to give, like, a speech or something that day, or about what the plan is for them?
Oh, Twice, yeah.
And so Hawks is like, you know, let's just run down the plan, you know, just to make sure we're all things. So Twice tells him the entire plan and he's like, great. And then the raid happens and it's kind of like, you see, it's like Twice realizes like, oh, I made the mistake again.
He trusted someone that he shouldn't have once more. This is a tragic area, so we can talk about this first. So just to clarify, I don't know if we're going to go in complete sync order with all the fights.
Yeah, say,
but this all takes place within the same span of time.
Yeah.
So Hawks is in battle with now Twice. The thing is with Hawks is that it's conflicting, is that you never really knew what side Hawks was on until the end. Because Hawks was, I think, genuinely friends with Twice. Like, he liked Twice.
He thought he was a good person.
Yes. And he didn't really want to harm Twice, but Twice's quirk is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, extremely dangerous. He can make like hundreds of thousands of copies. Like, something the heroes would not be able to deal with if he made copies of Shigaraki or Gigantomachia or someone, All for One. Like, who knows what, you know,
yeah,
how it could have turned out. So they're in battle because he's telling Twice to just turn himself in. You know, and let's just call it a day on that, and we'll get you the help that you need, you know?
Yeah.
And Twice is like, nah, fuck you, man. We were friends, and you betrayed me again. Now my real friends are in danger, and it's my fault. I gotta fight. So they go into battle.
Yeah. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it depends on whose perspective you're looking at.
Hawks kills Twice.
Yes. There we go.
Yes. Yeah, so Hawks inevitably kills twice. One of Twice's clones is the last survivor and tells Toga. And
yeah.
I think she's with Mr. Compress.
Yes.
And, you know, he gives her his last words. She hugs him. And, you know, because obviously they have a close bond because, you know, Twice likes Toga. And, yeah, it's very traumatic to her character. You know, she takes it well in the sense that she's not, like, going on a rampage. It's not, like, a rage moment. But it's more of, like, an introspective moment.
It does stick with her, though.
It sticks with her. No, it does. It impacts her. But she handles it in a way you wouldn't expect, I guess.
Like yeah. And it's very interesting because we kind of talked about this in the My Villain Academia area. It's like this is basically a hero's arc or like a hero's story. It's just you're in the perspective of the villains.
So the villains.
It's like the friend sacrificing himself to save his other friend. Like, come on.
I know. It's pretty nuts. And then it also puts in perspective what the heroes are willing to do. Like, is it morally correct for them to kill? Is it not?
Yeah.
You know, overall, like it shows like more of the darkness of hero society in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, continuing with this, you get Dobby.
Mm.
So Dobby comes into the fold once Twice is dead. And he mocks, you know, Hawks for killing him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hawks, he knows a lot about Hawks in terms of like Dobby, I'm saying, knows a lot about Hawks in terms of like Hawks' upbringing, the facilities that he's from, his backstory that we don't really know at this moment.
Yeah.
And, Hawks is confused. Like, how does he know this? You know, like, who are you?
Yeah.
And you get this little black speech bubble and Dobby says who he is, but you don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And you see Hawks look shocked.
Right.
Now, Hawks just had a fight with Twice and he's in very close parameters, like buildings, rooms that are small, not really versatile for his wingspan and for his quirk. And Dobby has fire.
Yeah.
So Hawks is at quite the disadvantage. It ends up getting burned really bad.
Yeah.
And loses his wings.
Yeah, he gets flamed pretty hard.
Pretty hard. His wings are pretty much scorched. They're just the nubs.
Yeah.
At the bone, you know?
And honestly, I honestly thought he was going to be, like, dead.
Yeah, I thought he was dead too. But then, fast forward.
Yeah, and his student, I guess.
Protege.
His protege, Tokiyama.
Yes.
Comes in and saves him.
Tokiyami? Yeah.
What did I say?
Tokiyama.
Oh, fuck.
We'll be right back.
No, oh, fuck.
Yes, so Tokiyami comes in, the Birdman himself.
The cat!
Yeah, and he uses Dark Shadow to pretty much fight off Dobby and protect Hawks and get him out with safety.
Yes, yes.
And it was a big moment for Tokiyami.
Tokiyami. we're gonna get there. You have the doc in front of you, so I can't actually see what is on there.
Right, so we talked about the whole Hawk situation.
Yes.
So we're gonna go into the evolution of the Nomus and high ends.
Okay, because we have not been really discussing Nomu stuff.
Yes.
And so I feel like
this is relevant for this section.
Yes.
Okay. So you might be asking yourselves, how do the heroes know locations? How do they know little insights besides what Hawks has given them, right? And you have right now this shot up on the TV of Eraserhead, what's Mike?
Yeah, present Mike.
Present Mike and Kirogiri. So there is a sub-genre, a sub-manga, excuse me, of My Hero called My Hero Vigilantes. It goes a little more into this. We're not going to get too deep into that. But essentially, Kirogiri was a human being, like most Nomu are at first, who has been experimented on and given multiple quirks or multiple assets and has been converted into a Nomu. Now, we find that some Nomu, especially within the high-end range, who have cognizance of some level, still retain some of their memory or bodily function of the person they used to be before they got turned into a Nomu. Now, for Kirogiri, we find that he ends up being a friend of Present Mike and Eraserhead back in the day when they were at UA, who died previously.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, in Vigilantes, you find out how he died. We're not going to get into that today. If you want us to talk about Vigilantes, maybe we can do that another time.
Yeah.
If you guys like that. But just to put it short, he passed away, you know, was killed. And now he was captured and created into Kidogiri. So Eraserhead and Present Mike have been going to Tartarus, which I think is where he's held, right?
Yes.
And trying to reason with him and see if the old friend that they loved is still in there. And sometimes they can break through or Kidogiri will give them some info. But he's pretty much now an asset for the heroes to some extent.
Yeah. So, and then tying into what's happening now is while the raid's happening, the heroes break into the hospital where Doctor is at and conducting his experiments with the Nomu and Shigaraki. So the fight begins of the Doctor releases the high-end Nomus, which compared to what we've seen so far already, these guys are like the top notch. Like they are now able to mostly all speak and think for themselves and are stupid strong, like stupid, ridiculously mm-hmm. strong. And Miruku, our rabbit hero that we kind of briefly touched upon last time, who is a badass.
Yes. Our bunny waifu.
Yeah. Like she's kicking ass, but like, they are also kicking her ass, too.
Yeah, so Miruko gets to the lab with Dr. Udaraki first when they're raiding the hospital. And she ends up being in this facility where you see Shigaraki in his tube because Udaraki is pretty much making him some form of Nomu hybrid, right?
Right.
The perfect vessel, essentially. And he releases the high ends, like Michael just stated. Now, Miruko is like the number four hero now, I think, right?
Yeah.
And after Best Genius became three, and this is like her time to shine. So she has like the quirk where she can like bounce around. She's like, she's a bunny, pretty much. She has she's very aerodynamical. She can like has a lot of strength, push on stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like very, you know, just very jumpy, essentially.
Yeah.
And she goes to work with these high ends, like just bodying them, but they're so uber, so they're bothering her back. And you just really get to see her be a complete and total badass. She became a fan beloved character during this time. A lot of people like Miruko.
Yeah.
And she makes a lot of noble sacrifices. She loses her arm. And during, you know.
Loses her arm and her leg.
She loses her leg too?
Yep.
Damn. So, really?
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot about that. So she loses her leg too, which is like, you know, majority of what her quirk is. And she makes a lot of sacrifices in that moment to try to, you know, to try to fight. And, you know, at the end, she tries to break Shigaraki out, I'm assuming, right?
Well, yeah, destroy his little, because
yes.
You see on, like, the computer monitor, like, Shigaraki is, like, 75% complete or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she wrecks the station.
She can sense danger coming from his tube.
Yeah. And she also gives enough time for Endeavor to make it into the facility too.
Yes. So now all there are multiple pro heroes now joining her after she thought she was going to die.
Yeah. But fate has another plan.
So before we get there,
okay,
I actually want to talk a little bit more about the mansion, because I figure what's happening, what we're going to talk about with Shigaraki is too hype.
Okay.
So I kind of want to jump around a little bit.
All right.
So when we go back to the mansion, we're going to see that the pro heroes and students that are there are trying to fight the you know, the Liberation Army,
mm-hmm.
or the Paranormal Liberation Front, whatever. And there is a section where you see that some of the students have some time to shine. Like Kaminari has this big lightning fight.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
All that stuff. And what you find is that like Redestro is fighting with Tokoyami and everything, and there's like this all these brawls happening, right? But then you have Gigantomachia, who is just sitting there.
Yeah,
he only listens to his masters. We'll take that, you know, as it may be. Mm-hmm. So right now he's in stasis, but he's present with the heroes at the mansion. All right, so now let's fast forward and go back.
Yeah, so now I gotta remember what taps are which. Are you? Yes. Okay.
All right. So Miruko goes, and during the fight with the Nomus, everyone is there, goes ahead and smashes the tube where Shigaraki is laying.
Yeah. And also, present Mike has a doctor in custody.
Yes, the doctor has been retrieved at this time.
Yeah.
So Shigaraki gets, I think, jolted, doesn't he?
Yeah, like, because you, like, the heroes are analyzing him, and it's like they think he's dead because he has no heartbeat or whatever. Yeah. So they're kind of like cleaning up the mess, and then a jolt goes through Shigaraki, and he starts activating.
So Shigaraki comes through, he awakens, and he immediately uses decay.
Oh man.
So this is probably the biggest decay, and where you really get to see where this is not going to go the way they thought it would. He levels the whole building. Pretty much everyone dies. The heroes do survive because they have Endeavor and a few others who are flight savvy. And Eraserhead almost dies, but he is saved by the hero Crust, who protects him, but in the process does get decayed.
Yeah.
Now, in that vein, you see that the decay is spreading and goes throughout a really big portion of the city.
Yeah. Like, you can see it from the distance, like, sort of thing.
It's a giant crater.
Right.
And at the center is Shigaraki on this little, like, I don't know, pedestal, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
It was like self-formed pedestal where he was standing. And you could just see the devastation. And like, heroes die. Civilians die.
Yeah.
So many people die. It's crazy. Like, in just one shot. And you see that he calls Gigantomachia and says, come to him.
Yeah. And that's the wake-up call for our big boy. And our big boy goes big.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So what's interesting is now, like, we kind of saw, if you watched the anime and stuff, you kind of saw a little bit of Shigaraki changing. Like, his hair became more white there. But now it's like you have pure white, and he's kind of got this huge power boost. And you're like, what the frick is going on? Like, what's happening with Shigaraki, sort of thing.
So Endeavor is there, and he challenges him to a fight, and you slowly start to see what's happened to Shigaraki. Now, you'll notice that he's lost two of his fingers, I believe, on one side of his hand.
Yeah.
And that's due to the fact of his fight with Redestro when he decayed, you know, the city as well. He lost his fingers in the process of doing that.
Yeah.
Now, Shigaraki is now partially Nomu. So he has the brute strength, the dexterity, the regenerative abilities,
the luck stat, the magic stat. I don't know.
All of that. With that comes with being a Nomu. But there's one other gigantic factor that we find that gets revealed.
Yeah, I will save that. Wait for just a minute on that one.
So going back to the mansion.
Yeah, get a little tease, something's not right. Gigantomachia is a big boy. And let's hope if this is... look at, like, this monster.
Yes, so Gigantomachia begins to go on a rampage and starts destroying everybody. So now they have this hulking creature that is coming through. I believe they understand that Shigaraki has been released or something is happening, and they know this guy cannot, you know, cannot be allowed to go.
Yeah.
So they're trying to devise a plan to get him, to sleep, essentially. So we have Midnight.
Yep.
Our BDSM babe. And she's trying to fight and lead the students and all that stuff, but she gets injured by Gigantomachia.
Yeah. And, like, Mount Lady is, like, going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, being dog-piled by this man, just dragged.
Yeah. Because you have to understand, like, they literally say Gigantomachia is, like, a force of utter destruction. Like, bullets will not work on this thing. Like, weapons are useless. It's just, like, an indomitable wrecking ball.
He's, like, the ultimate Nomu.
Yeah.
He's pretty much a Nomu.
Yes?
Because they said they used Gigantomachia as a testament to Nomus in the first place.
Is he? I don't remember if he was actually a Nomu, if he was just like a...
He's not a Nomu in the sense that he's been created as such, but they modeled Nomus after him.
Okay, okay.
So gotcha. He's like the OG Nomu, like the first.
Yeah. And it takes, so because like he is bulldozing through heroes like nobody's business sort of thing. And it kind of leaves the only people left to availably stop him is Class A and Class B.
Yeah, so Midnight pretty much declares Momo the leader right now and the plan divisor. And she is alluded to being killed. She gets flown in the air, launched by Gigantomachia. And she's still alive and comes to, but you see a bunch of villains surrounding her.
Yeah.
And it's presumed that she has been killed. So that's another major death in this series. We haven't talked about Midnight a lot, but she's been an integral teacher and player in this game. So now Momo devises a plan to use a sedative because she can. Her quirk is that she can create things as long as she knows what the material is and how the functionality works out of her body.
Yeah.
So she creates a plan to make these sedatives that will knock Gigantomachia out, essentially.
Yeah.
So now it's their whole, like, mission to get that into his mouth, essentially. Yeah,
and there's a lot of, like, student highlights, right?
Yes, especially with Kirishima.
Kirishima
gets another moment where
he has his...
talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so he has, I think, probably the strongest of the...
Oh, group. Yeah, 100%. He's definitely there he is, unbreakable.
Yeah, and, like, he... Because what happens is Momo creates the sedative and they're like, you have to like throw it into his mouth, essentially. Mm-hmm. He has to ingest it. And Ashido, or Mina, however you want to go.
Bug girl.
Yeah. she like ramps up and is about to like throw it into Gigantomachia's mouth. But then she kind of has a moment where she hesitates because... If you remember what we talked about last time, is that a while back she actually ran into Gigantomachia before, and she was able to like dissuade him before because he wasn't like in his aggro mode. But like she hesitates just for a moment there, and it causes the vial to like miss.
Yes, and I must say that's a good reason why you should listen to the previous parts if you've gone to this far. Like and subscribe, leave a comment. It really helps us out a lot. Just a little self-plug in between. And
ding!
We're back. Yeah, so it leaves the moment open for Kirishima to climb and shove it in his mouth, essentially.
Yeah, because it's like the nice moment of like now he finally gets to do what he was wanting to do before.
Because she, again, just to reiterate, she inspired him because Gigantomachia actually came into town.
Yeah.
But surrounding this little girl, Kirishima was too scared to move, but Mina did move. So now he's returning the favor.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes full circle. So things look okay for the heroes right now, right? They got Gigantomachia's thing in. Shigaraki is out, and a bunch of people died. But
See, thing that's funny about Gigantomachia is that Gigantomachia is not alone. Gigantomachia has the League of Villains on his back, and they start messing people up too. And like Dobby's just like, okay,
he starts creating like a whole like. Perimeter fire everywhere, and what you find out also is that the sedative doesn't work.
Yep.
So Gigantomachia ends up defeating everyone with the League of Villains and is heading their way towards the city, towards Shigaraki.
Yeah.
Now, moving back to the Shigaraki section, you'll find that Shigaraki has this ability called Search.
Yeah. Strange how that happened.
Strange. Now, if you've seen the series, you know that Search is one of the pussycat dolls. their quirk. So there, and we know that one of them was stolen
by
All for One.
Yeah.
So now you start to wonder, how is this possible?
Yeah, because you're like, well, All for One is in Tartarus and hasn't moved since then.
Correct.
And Shigaraki did not have this
ability
before,
and Nomus can't copy quirks necessarily speaking.
Yeah, and so let's go to two people who are just kind of on the sideline at the moment. It's President Mike and the Doctor.
Yes.
And they're walking to the police cars. And the doctor is kind of like cheerfully rambling. And he's talking about this whole scheme of things and this whole plan. And this still kind of confuses me a little bit.
Sure.
But I think essentially what the gist is that All For One, during his fight with All Might, was operating with a copy of his quirk.
Yeah, so it was a synthetic version.
Yeah.
Of All For One.
And then with this process that the doctor put Shigaraki through, Shigaraki now has All For One.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So that was right? Is that?
Yeah, so basically what the doctor did is that he took All For One from All For One and gave him a copy synthetic version of it and gave the true version of All For One to Shigaraki.
Yeah.
So now Shigaraki has the K, All For One, and base Nomu level abilities.
And he is like, I see you, Deku. I see you.
So now what's clear is that Shigaraki is changing and that the quirk is changing him. Because as Shigaraki's goal was to destroy everything and to be the villain king of Japan. However, when he's come out, he is now getting this like urge for One For All.
Yeah.
Just this urge to have it.
Yeah.
That he doesn't quite understand. And he's hearing like this voice in his head that's reaching out to claim One For All.
And Deku realizes this too, because he like is helping everyone with the escape thing and he like freezes up and it's like Shigaraki's awake. Yeah, he's like, Shigaraki's awake. Oh god, oh god.
The vestiges warn him essentially.
Yeah. So Deku realizes Shigaraki is gonna come after me. And witnessing the entire hillside just decay into nothingness, he's like, I need to get away from everybody else and engage, right? So he launches off and Bakugou follows him.
Yes.
And now we have no holds bars showdown. Deku versus Shigaraki.
Yes. So Shigaraki, Bakugou and Deku are trying to flee to some extent, because Gran Torino's like, yo, you cannot be captured. Like, even though people are dying, like, if they win, if they get One For All from you, it's over.
Yeah.
For, like, everyone, you know? But eventually, stubborn Deku decides that he can't have this be the case, and he begins to fight with Shigaraki. Now, at this point in time, Deku has control over 45% of his power. By this point, so after overhaul, after gentle, after all the training, everything else, he's gone from 8 to 20 to now 45% use. Now 100% was the exception with Eri,
yeah,
but he now has control, base control over 45%, and Bakugou is having a little bit of a hard time keeping up with him.
Yeah,
I'm starting to realize there's becoming a gap, you know, in power. So they go and they're starting to reach Shigaraki, and they just can feel this like dread.
Yeah,
because he's so broken compared to them at this moment in time. Like, even Deku can't really hold a candle to Shigaraki's power
right
at this moment in time. So we have this stellar cast. We have Endeavor,
yeah,
we have Bakugou, we have Deku, and we have fucking Eraserhead,
yeah,
who makes an appearance and begins to use his quirk to nullify All For One from Shigaraki.
Right.
Now, with this in mind, they have to fight Shigaraki, who is still a menace.
Yeah.
He's literally as strong as... They've mentioned that he's as strong as All Might base.
Yeah.
Without All For One. So now they're in this, you know, this match with him, this brawl.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to stop him while they have an opportunity.
And it is like... It's kind of like a pulling teeth sort of thing. Because every time you hurt Shigaraki, he's regenerating because of the Nomu stuff.
And the thing about Shigaraki also is that because he knows that he has this ability, he's just no holds back. Like, you'll see his face being melted off, you'll see his limbs being taken, whatever, anything. Like, he has no regard because he's healing at such a fast rate that he doesn't really need to worry about it.
Yeah. And it is like a brutal ass fight. Like, everyone is getting bodied.
Yeah, everyone is everyone is getting bodied. Everyone.
Like Endeavor is like you see Endeavor and the Dragon Lady. I forgot her name.
I forget her name too. But
Ryuk.
Sure.
Yeah. You see them like one frame. They're fighting Shigaraki, and then you cut away to like Deku, and you cut back, and Shigaraki's standing on both of them, and you're like. What? Already?
Yeah. He's just a powerhouse. Like, no one can touch him, pretty much.
And you can't get too close to him, because even though All for One is Decay nullified.
Well is nullified.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yes, all quirks based.
I thought it was also active.
No, because Decay was also a problem that they were afraid of. That he could decay you easily, and you can't fight against that.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something else. All right, that's later.
Bug.
Buck, there's so much stuff that happens in it. I mean, it sounds like we are like summarizing scene by scene, but we are actually leaving so much stuff out.
We're leaving so much stuff out. It's just like we'd be here for 5-6 hours if we wanted to get into full details about every minute thing. I can say, like, just to give some opinions a part of this and some analysis, that I really think like this is like the strongest section of My Hero, and there's so much happens, and there's reveals, there's crazy. Amazing art, you know, so many different dynamics at play. Deku really gets to shine. Everyone gets their moments. It's amazing. All the teamwork. You really see like this is like, and you feel the dread. Like you don't know what will happen if they don't win.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like they have to win, and like the heroes win, right? You know, the heroes win, right? That's how it works. And it's one of those things where, like, every week you're like, yo, what's going to happen next? Because it just gets crazier and crazier.
That's my only gripe with this. Because before we sat down today, I literally, from where the anime ended to where we are now, I, like, reread the whole manga. And going through this part, it was still, like, hype as hell. But I could feel, like, because... when this was coming out, it was weekly, right? Every week it would be a new chapter. And you could feel like the placed cliffhangers within of like, oh, the fight's going. And it's like, but then a Eraserhead shows up. It's like, oh, damn. And then the next chapter happens. It's like, but then Gran Torino shows up. Oh, damn. And it's like, the next chapter happens. It's like, then Rock Lock shows up. It's like, you know, like, it's kind of like, all right, we get like, you don't have to make every single chapter a cliffhanger. I get it. All right. Okay. Like,
but I guess on a week-to-week basis.
I mean, I understand, but I could, now that I'm reading it through, I was like, okay, that's a little bit. It was kind of like soap opera-y of like, gasp, you know?
I know what you mean.
Though you brought up Deku, and I feel like this would be a good time to bring it up now. During this fight, Deku is getting
so
okay.
Actually, before we even get there,
okay.
Let's talk about how Eraserhead had his big moment, because that leads into that in the first place.
All right.
So as you know, Eraserhead has been blocking All for One and all of Shigaraki's quirks, and he's been using his base All Might power with his Nomu abilities to fight back.
Mm.
Now. As everyone, I'm assuming, knows, Eraserhead's quirk works with his eyeballs. He has to be looking at the individual, and he can't blink. Otherwise, it gets turned off, and that's all Shigaraki needs.
Yeah.
So it's just a millisecond of time to get, you know, one for all or to fight for that.
Yeah, so, like, right now, Eraserhead is with the hero Manuel, who's, like, this water hero, who's, like, literally watering his eyeballs. So
keeping them hydrated so they can open.
Yeah.
Now, in this moment, Shigaraki has quirk-erasing bullets with him.
Yeah.
And he throws one, and it hits Eraserhead.
Yeah, in his leg.
Now, Eraserhead knows if he loses his quirk, it's over.
Yeah.
So he does the most badass dad thing to do ever, and he cuts off his leg.
Yeah, just literally takes out, like, a hunter knife, and it's like, all right.
And literally destroys his leg. So his quirk was able to maintain because the quirk erasing bullet didn't have enough time to spread throughout his body before, you know, he did the act itself.
Yeah,
it's kind of like if you have a virus and you got to get your arm off, you know, gangrene or whatever, you know.
Right.
And even Shigaraki acknowledges how epic Eraserhead is for that.
You're so cool, Eraserhead.
Yeah, I don't know. He's always had a hard on for Eraserhead for some reason. But it was a super badass moment. But it's also led to the moment where Eraserhead just couldn't take it anymore. and passed out.
Yeah.
So now Shigaraki has All for One and his decay quirks at his disposal and immediately decides to use decay on the ground.
Yeah.
Now that leads into what you were saying. So go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to remember exactly how it happens, but like, you know, like decay happens and, Deku uses like his black whip to grab some people and he's suddenly in the air and he's staying in the air. And it's like, oh, and like, oh, like, oh, oh God, I'm trying to remember events and when they happen. before this, we need to address, cause I realize this now. So we were talking about Shigaraki is changing.
Yes.
Right. And like he has All for One's abilities and stuff, but he's got like a kind of a little shift in attitude. And the reason for that is that All for One is not only a new quirk for Shigaraki, but All for One is now actively imposing on Shigaraki, like his personality.
So you start to get inklings in this section where quirks have not sentience, but almost like character traits of the individual who wields it ingrained into it.
Yeah.
So when Shigaraki received the quirk All for One, the person All for One also kind of came with it to some extent, which I think was always the plan.
Yeah.
And like we've mentioned, Deku's One for All has a similar function where the previous users can communicate with him in some sort of fashion, you know, through his progression of the quirk, and it's becoming more sentient as it goes on. So Deku, we mentioned last time that Deku would be receiving the quirks of the previous users. We didn't know how they would manifest, but he has gotten some notes from All Might, who's been doing research on them, and they've been practicing to kind of get familiar with the functionality of them.
Yeah.
Even before he receives them.
Yes.
So he begins to use Float.
Yeah.
Which is Nana Shimura's quirk, aka Shigaraki's grandma.
Yeah.
And that is the seventh user. So he has now received One for All, the strength version stockpile. He has Black Whip and he now has Float.
Yeah. So I wanted to predecess this because during the fight, Shigaraki gets Gran Torino.
Yes.
And that like causes Deku to go absolutely berserk.
Yeah. He does go pretty berserk.
Yeah. And when he gets his float ability, he black whips everybody and lifts them up in the air with him to avoid the decay. And Gran Torino recognizes it and he's like, oh, Nana Shimura's quirk, you know. And but that's not enough.
No,
because like we said, All for One is kind of encroaching on Shigaraki. And at this point, our timer says that our big boy is on his way.
Yes, because like we mentioned, during all this and all this strife with Shigaraki and all this struggle, we still have big boy Gigantomachia to worry about.
Yeah, he's coming into the ring now.
Yes.
And otherwise, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Oh, because All for One is taking over Shigaraki. You understand now why that there's that inkling to take One for All.
Yes, it's All for One's desire for it and to be connected to his brother that is now moving Shigaraki. And you can see that Shigaraki's body and mind are in conflict.
Yeah.
With this new personality that is, you know, looming like a parasite on Shigaraki, essentially. And Shigaraki has different goals than All for One and is trying to fight his wishes. But All for One does have a strong influence over him. And you can see him sort of cracking and breaking at the seams.
It was, I don't know if it was like a literal thing, but like at one point, like his face cracks in half and you see All for One smiling. And I'm like, what kind of Junji Ito shit is this? Like,
yeah, so it's definitely like the art is crazy, and this is like where the story just becomes more of a darker, grittier thing.
Yeah.
You see like a shift in art. You see that it's a lot like the shading is different. Like,
a lot
of things change around this time frame.
So All for One uses his like tentacle. Well,
actually, before we even get there, we should say that Shigaraki begins to lose himself, and eventually All for One takes over.
Yes, yes.
So now Shigaraki's kind of, his mind, his personality is kind of in the back burner, and the All for One personality is in the front line, and who also knows how to use the quirks in better fashion, you can say.
Yeah.
Now you can continue.
Yeah, so him wanting One for All uses like tentacle things and fires at Deku. And then
we get this big moment.
We have this very big moment where you could say he wasn't even thinking. It was like his body moved on his own.
Bakugo pushes Deku out of the way of the tendrils and is stabbed repeatedly with them.
Now, this is huge because up until now, like, at first, you know, Bakugo was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right? And him and Deku were at odds. And then eventually, like, when he learns about One for All, like, and Deku's whole predicament, it's like he kind of begrudgingly becomes more of a rival.
Yes.
To push him more. But there was still, like, that, like, tsundere, like, sort of attitude of, like, stupid Deku. Stupid Deku. So... doing this, like, because if you remember way back episode one, where we talked about Deku saved Bakugo from the slime monster because he felt compelled, he had to move, you know, without thinking. And now we are in the flip situation of Bakugo moved without really thinking. He just had to.
And it's in this time that Deku goes fucking ballistic.
Yeah.
Now, you have to understand that Deku, within this whole fight, has been using more of all, One for All than he's supposed to be. He realizes that this could be the end game, and that this could be the final fight. For a long time, like, I thought maybe this might even be the end.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't really sure. So, with that in mind, he's pumping out, like, 100% blasts here.
Yeah.
100% blast there. And he's using kind of Black Whip as reinforcement on his body.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't break.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, you know, go so, you know, all the black and blue bloody.
Yeah. He's doing, like, a heavier version of what he did to Overhaul.
Pretty much.
He is, like, slamming Shigaraki. He's like, Wyoming Smash! Texas Smash! Like,
and you just see cities and the landscape just blowing to bits. And, like, the heroes on the ground are just shocked at, like, the raw power that Deku has. And how he's keeping up with, you know, with Shigaraki and going through the motions.
But. Not enough.
It's not enough.
And our boy shows up. Our big boy shows up.
Gigantomachia.
Yeah. And a lot of things happen in this, like, I'm trying to remember what.
Oh, one thing we should prefix as well is that Mirio comes back.
Oh, yeah.
That is a big gripe I have with this. So basically, like, this is one thing that I didn't really like that much. And, like, Mirio pretty much gets sidelined after this. So, like, we know Mirio lost his quirk during the Overhaul arc. And, you know, you would expect that there'd be, like, this overhaul of character development and character growth and character relationships where he gets a good, you know, becomes, like, really close with Eri. And Eri learns her abilities more.
Yeah.
In, like, this, like, you know, big moment, he gets his quirk back.
No. One page.
It's she returns an apple. He asks her to do the same thing to him. She does it off screen. And then he's back. Fights Inomu for like 2 minutes and never shows up again.
Goes back to Tintin.
And that's pretty much the gist on that. So continue.
Yeah. You just reminded me that. I mean, it was really cool. But
it was like, I don't know. I didn't want that to be the case. Honestly, at this time, my fan theory was that she was going to rewind All Might.
Oh.
To prime All Might.
Oh.
And he would fight Shigaraki, and Shigaraki would kill him in front of Deku.
Oh.
And that would be like this big monumental moment where he couldn't stop the prophecy.
Yeah.
He died horrifically. I thought that would be so fucking epic.
Oh, man.
But alas.
Alas. We can't these decisions we have to live with. Well, okay, so Mirio did come back and helped out. But I think it's because Mr. Compress And also, I think this is also the point where it's revealed that, oh God, is it now? I don't want to spoil if it's now or not.
Well, let's continue with the fight with Deku and Shigaraki. So with Gigantomachia in play, there's this big section where Deku does get caught, and now there's a tug of war match.
Yeah.
So basically, we enter the Vestige world where Shigaraki is trying to take One For All.
Yeah, that's in here.
And you can see that he's pulling, and you can see that like Shigaraki's a child form in this Vestige world where he's Tomura, and he's being like grabbed by a million and three hands.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, look like he wants to be saved, and All For One is pulling at One For All, but all the vestiges of One For All come and do this tug of war match.
Yeah.
And they're strong enough where the quirk cannot get stolen. Shigaraki is not complete, and I guess the hatred isn't there quite. Where they can, I guess, like, you need a lot of hatred and a lot of strength to pull it from them, because they have the vestiges where they also, you know, like, keep that intact. Because the thing about One For All is that you have to, it's like, it has to be a willful transfer. It can't just be like stolen by normal means, usually speaking. And so there's a big war match pretty much. And after this, Deku's pretty much out of commission.
Yeah.
He can't really do much. And Shigaraki's also really beaten down, and his regenerative abilities are starting to dwindle as he's had to use it so much that it's slowing down.
Right.
So now you can go into...
Yeah.
So now the villains decide that they're trying to escape is the best option at this time.
So... Yes, I was right. Okay. So what happens is we have a surprise guest.
Yes.
That Best Genius is not dead.
He is not.
And he, like, sky drops out of the sky and is like, hello, I'm back. And then, because the League of Villains are on the back and are like, what? But you saw your body. Like, what the fuck?
Actually, before this even occurs, during the matches with Deku and all that stuff, Dobby comes into play.
Oh, right. We knew the...
Yes, so we need to talk about that before that even occurs.
You're right. There's so much stuff that happens.
Yeah, there's so much stuff, guys. We apologize if we're a little out of order. But, like, all this happens within the same span of time, primarily speaking.
I think it's this one. Yes.
All right. So basically, at this moment in time, Dobby is talking to Todoroki, who is there with Endeavor, and he gives the big reveal that he is indeed, in fact, Toya Todoroki. So he is the eldest and older brother of the Todoroki family.
And first off, Dobby's playing the big brain game.
Yes.
Is that he, like, because he's dyed his hair black this whole time, and he, like, pours water out, and you start seeing the white hair that usually indicates the Todoroki family, you know. While he's revealing himself to Endeavor and Shoto,
there's a video.
He has the liberation guy with the
computers, like the social media guy.
Yeah, he has him playing a video on all news networks of Toya basically revealing the entire Endeavor shenanigans, and on top of that, also showing video of Hawks killing twice,
and reveals that Hawks's father was a serial killer villain.
Yeah,
as well.
So, like, you're seeing basically, like, people are reacting to this of, like, first off, people were like, Endeavor did what, sort of thing.
Yeah, because he goes on the whole line about how abusive. Wow, look at that. You saw that?
No, I didn't see what happened. Oh, God.
I'm lagging.
Oh, God.
So hard right now.
Is this the work of an enemy quirk?
Yeah, right. I'm just in the Spider-Verse 60 FPS right now. We'll be right back. And we're back. So, Dobby pretty much reveals that how abusive and how obsessed he was with pleasing Endeavor and becoming his successor. Endeavor had pretty much painted the picture to him that he is the vessel to succeed All Might.
Yeah.
He is his greatest creation because Dobby's quirk was hotter. The problem is that Dobby's body doesn't have the temperament for the heat.
Right.
So therefore, his body kind of, like, gets injured, he gets burned.
Well, that is abilities. Even worse. It's like he he developed his mother's like tolerance for cold instead. So it became like double damage onto him.
Yes. So Endeavor pretty much gives up on him and says that you'll hurt yourself and you cannot do what I want to do. And he kind of focuses on other children. Then he has Todoroki, who is like the prime vessel. But Dabi or Toya still wants to prove himself.
It's actually really sad watching those chapters, because you're seeing this kid who is so desperate to get, like, to please his dad, sort of thing. And, like, he's almost going, like, a little bit crazy, even as a child.
Well, that's the thing. You see inklings of the fact that it's not all Endeavor's fault. Like, there's a screw loose in this kid's head from day one. Like, Endeavor is not, like, really brutal with the reveals that, like, you know what I mean? He just stops training him as much because he's like, dude, you're going to hurt. You can't do this. You're going to hurt yourself.
Well, he tells him, too. It's like, focus on something else, you know? Yeah. Like, and he's just, like, refuses, and like his mom tries talking to him, and like, and she's like, you know, you can be something else, you can be, it's like, you don't know me, sort of, and you're like, and like, he like not to be punny, but he burned some bridges.
Yeah. He pretty much can't accept his reality.
Yeah,
he refuses to, and he blames Endeavor and Hero Society and the world for it. And you find that he was in this mountain area where he was trying to improve his quirk.
Well, because I think he unlocks the Blue Fame ability, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to show Endeavor, you know, I want to show my dad. And Endeavor has realized, because like, he lifts up the shirt and you see like burn marks on him, and he's like, I told you to stop, sort of thing. And he's like, no, just come with me to the mountain, I gotta show you, I got this. And like, he goes to the mountain by himself and waits for Endeavor, but Endeavor doesn't show up because Endeavor's like, I'm not feeling this. Like,
yeah.
And so part of it, it's like the emotional like outburst within Toya, but like, he engulfs in flames, and by the end, like, the entire mountainside's on fire.
They only found his jawbone.
Yeah.
So that's like what that pretty much alludes to at the moment. You know, we don't really see much else of what occurs. And at this point in time, I think it's pretty fair to say that Hero Society has fallen.
Yeah, because now you have people like, there's a one example where you see some kids talking about it, like, well, you know, like, there's, like, this Endeavor could still be a good guy, you know, like, we still trust heroes. And it immediately shows Twice getting stabbed, and you see them are like, no, but
the whole Hawks reveal, and you just see the little plushy Endeavor fall to the ground.
And
pretty much people don't believe in heroes anymore, and now they realize that everything they believed was a lie.
Yeah,
essentially. Now the villains do get away.
Yes.
But at a heavy cost.
Yeah, I mean, so I was going to say before we jumped into Dobby, was that Mr. Compress, one of the villains, he's got the ability where he basically has these marbles and he can kind of like place objects within them or people. So he uses that to kind of safely get Shigaraki and Spinner away.
Yes.
Sort of thing. So they do manage to escape on Gigantomach. No,
the Nomus.
Gigantomachia
actually gets captured because
the set of
genus actually came afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's get to that. Sorry, we're all over the place a little bit.
Is anyone confused yet? You should probably read the manga and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I understand. But if you don't know,
so what Michael was saying is that after the video with Dobby and revealing that Hawks killed Best Genus and killed Twice, Best Genus actually shows up and restrains Gigantomachia, who is now actually getting affected by the sedative and is able to capture him. So it turns out that Dobby's plan didn't go quite as planned because Best Genus was not dead. It turns out it was a decoy, very good looking decoy.
Yeah.
And they were able to secure that. So Hawks did not kill Best Genus. Best Genus is still around.
Yeah. So, but it does not stop the ramifications of what's happening.
No. So now we're getting into territory of the aftermath. Now, quickly, during this time
frame, students find Midnight.
Oh, yes. They find Midnight. Midnight is confirmed to be dead.
Yeah, and a lot of people were dead. Like, yes, a lot of people.
A lot of people are dead.
And this starts shaking up stuff because, like, literally, a city is destroyed. Can we say, like, literally, an entire city is flattened?
It's a whole battlefield.
Yeah, and people are now coming forward and being like, "What the hell? Like, what? Why didn't you do it? Like,
How could you? You didn't protect us. Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, and like." All this scummy shit that you were hiding behind the scenes sort of thing. And like you said, like you're starting, you have people kind of lose faith in hero society. And I think, please. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so people are now against heroes and they're in fear and there's no order in society at this moment in time.
Yeah.
Like there's absolutely not really much going on in terms of order because what happens is that Tartarus gets broken into really quickly after this.
Yeah.
And All for One escapes with Shigaraki and the baddest of the bad that were in Tartarus.
We're talking muscular. We're talking overhaul, kind of.
Kind of.
We're talking about some other ones that we would get to.
Yes, it's just people that you just don't, you know, you just wouldn't expect. Hero Society has fallen, everyone. It's gone. Heroes are retiring and quitting left and right because of scrutiny and fear.
Well, I think it was the best because there's, while this whole battle has happened, there's like the cleanup and like Ochako and Froppy are helping out. And Ochako turns to one of the heroes and you see this guy. He's like, I can't do this. Like, this is too much sort of thing. And it's that sort of mentality of like heroes are leaving and which is not helping the general public because they're all like, you're fucking quitting now sort of thing. And it's a mess.
It's bad. Gran Torino got really bodied. He's like in a hospital and Deku is out cold.
Yeah.
In the hospital, and we get this little moment of Deku talking to the vestiges in his mind.
Yeah,
and All Might is there holding his hand, and he can't really see what's happening, but he can kind of feel and hear what's happening. Yeah.
So, that's also one thing I think we'll address now is that we also see a paradigm shift within Deku, where in the briefest moments while fighting Shigaraki. He sees for a glimpse the boy of Tenko Shimura.
AKA right? Shigaraki.
Yeah. And he's in the with the vestiges of the mind. And he has the conclusion of like, I want to save Shigaraki.
Because he says, like, you know, despite all of his, you know, the stuff that he's done, it looked like he wanted to be saved in the vestige world, the little boy.
Yeah. And, you know, like, Nana Shimura goes up to him. And it's like, do you have the resolve to kill him if need be?
Because majority of people are saying that he needs to die. Because, like, even in Hero Society, despite what Hawks did and everything, Shigaraki, like, twice is too dangerous to be left alive.
Yeah.
So majority of people are saying that he must die. Even Gran Torino, once Deku comes out of it, states that, you know, sometimes death is a mercy.
Yeah. And, but... Deku sticks to his guns and it's like, no, I want to save him.
Well, the thing about Deku also is that he understands that he might have to. The thing about Deku is that he's like, he does the talk no jutsu stuff where he's like, oh, I'm gonna talk to the villain, see why they're like this and see if we can come to some resolution, right? Yeah. But if not, I will do what needs to be done.
Right.
Which is what I like. It's not like this where I'll never kill or I'll never do that. He's like, I don't know what I'll have to do in the moment, but I'm prepared to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
In order to do so. And we get to this time skip area where a month has passed and the world is in total, you know, anarchy.
Yeah.
Villains are everywhere. Here, civilians are...
Well, even before that.
Oh, even before that.
So Deku does finally wake up from this. And you realize that he has left Yue and all of his other friends. And he has left them with the message that I have one for all. So he finally has revealed that secret.
Well, because people are starting to wonder, because One for All was mentioned during the fight, which was being broadcasted on the comms.
Yeah.
So people know, but they don't know what it is, but they know about One for All.
Yeah.
So Deku decides that they're going to be coming after him, and he can't stay at UA because his friends and family are there. It's a shelter now for people.
Yeah.
Because the cities are being evacuated because it's total, like I said, total anarchy. And Deku decides to tell his classmates why he's leaving and the fact that All Might bestowed his power onto him.
Yes.
Bakugo is also okay, by the way. He's not dead.
Yeah, he's just angry.
He's just very angry. And thus, a month time skip occurred.
Oh, actually, even. Sorry. There's one more fit. A little wrap up is that because Endeavor's in the hospital and Todoroki is in the hospital too. Because, you know, obviously. And Natsu comes to see them. Fumiya comes to see them. And Rei,
the mother who was in the psych ward.
Yeah.
Who is no longer.
And you have the Todoroki family part two,
where they talk about what they need to do about Toyo/Dobby.
Yeah. And essentially it's kind of like critiquing Endeavor of like, you have suffered, but you've not suffered as much as we have, sort of thing.
Yes.
But it's like, we have to also acknowledge that part of it is also our fault that Toyo became like this.
Yeah. It's not just Endeavor. It's everyone except for Shoto. He was pretty much a baby.
Yeah, Shoto.
There's not much he could have done.
But Shoto's like resolve. It's like, if we're taking down Toyo, we're going to do it together, sort of. Yes. Thing. And that's really cool, because I was like, oh, we finally starting to get a little bit of a redemption.
Redemption, yeah.
For it's everything.
Coming through.
And like Endeavor sobbing his eyes. I'm like,
yeah, right.
but we need to get to the cool stuff. So
yeah, so a month time skip has gone by, and we get the reveal that Deku has been on his own. Oh, wow. That's a little bit too hard, too. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. All right. So a month time skip has gone by. Deku's left. And you get this big reveal that Deku's been on his own for a month fighting villains.
Yeah.
And saving people and going through. And this is his new look. He has a tattered suit from the war. He has his old gloves on. You see that he has these wraps on his hands that end up coming from America.
Yeah.
Through All Might's connections, and they're actually resistant bands to help him with his body.
And he's wearing Gran Torino's cape.
Yes, he looks fucking epic. And you see here that he says big villain.
There's
been attacks. You go into where there's like people, like you said, like you see these kids, Ao, I think his name is, right?
Yeah.
The one who does the earthquake shit. You see that he's out and patrolling, and he runs into these civilians who are kept up in his building, and they're like, yo, you need to go to the shelter, but they're like, screw you, we're protecting ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you see that a villain from Tartarus shows up, and it's Muscular.
Yeah, big piece of shit and Muscular.
Yeah, so Muscular's going to town, just rampaging out, and fighting everybody, and Ao and this other girl try to fight him.
Yeah.
And they get wrecked, and Deku shows up.
Mm.
In his all his glory.
Yep.
And he tries the reason with Muscular. So you see, like, this is the first inklings of what he's trying to do now.
Yeah, like, he is like, is there no other way? Like,
yeah, like, does it have to be like this?
Yeah.
It's over, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Yeah. And Muscular is like, yeah, I fucking love doing villainous. Yeah. He's like,
fuck you. I don't want to talk. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to talk no jutsu to me. But fuck you. We're going to brawl. And Dooku's like, all right. Bodies that man.
Oh, man. It's like all of his muscle fibers snap, and it's like, Deku just rams through him, and Muscular's down
for the count. And you just see actually like this big power leap.
Yeah,
in Deku. Deku uses smoke screen.
Yeah,
which is a new quirk that he's unlocked from one of the users. He has danger sense, which is also another quirk that he unlocked during the war. Yeah. I think
so. He's really basically gotten two or three quirks additionally.
So right now Deku has Black Whip, which we know about.
Yeah.
The float quirk, which allows him to levitate. He now has danger sense, which is pretty much Spidey sense. Now you know what it is.
Yeah.
And he now has smoke screen, which is exactly.
He also has another one, but it won't be revealed until the next fight. So. Yes,
so we're not going to talk about that at the moment in time. Yeah. So also Deku has constant communication with the Vestiges at this time. So they're like little avatar things that can show up in his mind, or like,
you know,
to portray, and they can coach him through what he's doing and how to use the quirks properly.
And he also has constant communication with All Might.
Yes. So right now All Might is in his little Batmobile, following him around, trying to keep him healthy, pretty much not, you know, going through the motions.
Yeah.
But you can see that there's a shift in Deku where he's just all about the mission. He's not taking care of himself.
He's literally going from one fight to the next, hopping around back and forth.
He's also working with Endeavor and Hawks at this time.
Yeah. So meanwhile, like, he's cleaning up the streets essentially.
Yeah.
And Endeavor and Hawks are kind of similar and also searching for All for One, but they're trying to keep the public eye on them. So, like, you know, the hate mobs are going after Endeavor and, like, yelling at him.
And they're asking about One for All, but they're not saying what the dealio is to protect Deku.
Right. So Deku's on patrol at night, and he's talking to All Might, you know. Suddenly, kabam! Sniper shot.
You're like,
what the hell? And his phone has been skewered by this bone bullet thing. This thing. And it's got a speaker on the end of it. And welcome to the coolest lady in...
The baddest chick in all of My Hero. Lady Nagant. Woo, baby! So basically, like, her name describes, she has a quirk that her elbow turns into a fucking sniper rifle, and her bullets are made through her hair.
Yeah.
She's badass as fuck. So what you find out is that she was a part of this organization that was within Hero Society that trained, like, covert op heroes, pretty much, you can say.
Well, yeah, she was essentially, like, the black ops of the Hero Commission.
Which is what Hawks is, too, because Hawks didn't go to a hero school.
Before
becoming a pro hero, he was in this program. So she's pretty much his senpai, is what is noted. And basically, what you find out is that she was a pretty much, you know, assassin slash hero for the Hero Agency.
Yeah.
And they did her dummy, you know, just did her so wrong.
Well, yeah, because the whole thing was that she would, like, take out heroes and people who would cause unease within hero norms and stuff. So I think that the last one, it's one of the Hero Commissioners, like, telling her to, like, wipe out some citizen or whatever. And she's like, is anything that I'm doing actually, like, helping society? And the guy's like, you know, you gotta do these sacrifices and big risks to keep normal stuff. And she's like, okay. And she, like, snipes that bitch point blank.
And just kills people and the president, I think, of, like, the Hero Commission or whatever.
Yeah, so she gets thrown into Tartarus for being a traitor, sort of thing.
Yep.
And then when Tartarus breaks out, and when All for One breaks out of Tartarus, there we go,
she also comes.
Yeah. And All for One's like, hey, you look okay, get in.
Yeah, so the thing is with All for One is that he's sending assassins after Deku, not to kill him, but to capture him.
Yeah.
And she's one of them at this present time. And she also has a new ability called Staircase or something, right? Or Ladder. Basically, she can levitate in an upward or downward motion.
Yeah.
It cannot be side, diagonal, whatever the case, back, forward. It's just up and down. But it gives her some advantages while using her already, you know, broken abilities.
Yeah. And also, if you notice near Jake's head over there, there is another person there. It's our good friend Overhaul.
Yeah, so Overhaul is in this, like, also escaped, but he's in this, like, crazy state where he keeps saying, Bossu! Bossu!
Because, like, Overhaul has no arms, so he's effectively useless.
But all he really cares about at the moment in time is helping his mentor and his boss, who he's left in a coma after losing his quirk abilities because of his hands.
Yeah.
Now there's rumors or inklings of he can use it in his feet, and that's why he's so obsessed with seeing the boss. But Overhaul's been kind of absent after this section.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid.
I'm sure a storyline's been dropped, but
I just think that's really fucking stupid.
We'll see. But essentially, Deku also tries to talk no jutsu to her ever so slightly and tries to get to the motions because she was a hero at the end of the day and she wanted to help people. So he's trying to break through. And we see this, there's this new ability that he has called Raijin.
Yes.
Basically, what it is that it stores kinetic energy within his body as he moves, and he can release it at one single point within his body. He can use it in his legs, store it. So basically, it's like, think of his, like, arms, his limbs as, like, tanks. They're all separate tanks.
Yeah.
His arms carries so much kinetic energy, his legs carry so much kinetic energy, and if he uses his arms' kinetic energy, he still has the energy in his legs. And he's using this ability to basically make a pseudo 100% smash, yes, or dash or whatever.
Yeah. So you were saying that he's kind of talking no just to her.
Yes.
And she's like, nah. Well, you're naive.
She's not really having it at first. She's trying to talk no jutsu him back in the other way. But he does break through to her. He does his Raijin smash through a building. And yeah, then he dashes all the way through it and gets her. And pretty much, you know,
yeah,
knock her out or anything. But
it breaks her gun.
She's out of the fight, essentially.
But, uh-oh. It seemed like Killer Queen has touched Nagan.
Yes, so essentially, Deku convinces her to give him information on All for One. Yeah. And she details this mansion where he's supposed to be located.
Yeah.
And then she blows up.
Yeah.
So basically, All for One has put a failsafe in her quirk, her secondary quirk, that if she were to give information of any sort, she blows up.
So she spoke Yoshikage Kira's name, Bice Dust activated, you know.
Yep, and bodied this, and just pretty much exploded. It bodied her,
yeah,
to say the least. And Deku's, like, you know, has been going through a lot of trauma. He's seen a lot of heroes die, his friends get hurt,
yeah,
and this is just another scenario where he's seeing somebody get completely injured. Now, Hawks, with his regrown wings, comes and saves her, and she's still alive, technically.
By speaking, a miracle.
By yeah, a miracle, but she's fucked up, yeah, essentially, and that's the last we see of her at the moment.
Yeah.
Now we go to the mansion, where we have like pro heroes there, yeah, alongside Deku, and they think that this is gonna be it. But when they go in, it's an abandoned building with this TV, and All for One is speaking to Deku, saying that he no longer cares about All Might. That basically it's a callback to your next.
Yeah,
All for One only cares about Midoriya at this point. Yeah. In time.
And then the building blows up.
Yes. And we were like, another cliffhanger where we thought, yo, is everyone dead?
Yeah.
We knew Deku wouldn't be dead, but who's dead?
Right.
Turns out no one's dead. We got bamboozled. And that was the little thing about After the War arc, is that they had so much death that they tease a lot more death coming through, yeah, these arcs, but it doesn't happen a lot. We thought Nagant would die. She didn't.
Yeah.
We thought some heroes would die in an explosion. They didn't.
Yeah.
So Deku got them out. Endeavor got them out. They were fine.
So now, as you said, these things are kind of starting to stack up on Deku, and he is like, he's going a little too hard in the paint.
So he's not taking care of himself. He's not eating. He's not sleeping. He's not washing himself, nothing. And All Might is trying to tell him, like, yo, you need to chill, right?
Yeah.
And he's just not having it. And he decides to say that he can't be around All Might because he's afraid All Might will get hurt.
Yeah.
So he abandons All Might. And you see during this conversation that there's a mystery player that was listening in.
Yeah.
And we see that it was Stain.
Stain.
So Stain once again enters the battlefield, and to some extent.
Yeah.
And is watching over Deku and All Might.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Deku
has been fighting on his own, taking out another assailant.
Yeah.
With ease. And he has another look.
Yeah.
So now, the thing about Deku is his new look looks amazing. He looks so epic. Very dark, you know, gritty, yeah, very, like, almost like a villain. And that's kind of, like, how they're starting to portray him. Like, the world is, like, the Japan civilians and citizens are seeing him as almost like a ghost. But they're afraid of him because he looks creepy. And they know that he's saving people.
Yeah.
They're wondering if he's working for All for One.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, he's saving people. I've seen he's fighting villains. He's destroyed villains or whatever. And it's just the whole like, you know, ideology, the fact that he is not portraying himself to be a hero. He's too obsessed.
Yeah.
With, you know, taking down All for One and Shigaraki.
Yeah. But, you know, he like, because what was it? Baku kind of points this out later. Because, like, eventually, because the class is like, where the fuck is Deku? You know?
Yes, and they're looking for him.
Yeah. And they eventually, like, get to, was it Hawks finally tells him, right?
Well, no. So what happens is that Deku fights this villain named the Dictator.
Oh, right.
Who can control, like, people's minds, and he actually starts sending civilians after Deku.
Yeah.
Now, Deku will not hurt civilians. He's also reaching his breaking point in terms of exhaustion. He's been, like, over a month, he's been just nonstop fighting people, roaming cities, trying to protect, you know, whatever, always on the call. And he's just kind of defeated. Like, he can't hurt them. He's laying there. He's being toppled over. And then, I don't know, where Bakugo shows up and says, guys, I found him.
Yeah.
So there's a flashback sequence where they show that they were talking to Endeavor, trying to get him to say where he is in general, and they went to the principal's office asked for permission to go and get him.
Yeah.
And then they also, Endeavor gave them the location of where he was at.
Yeah.
And the principal said, you can bring him back, because they now just fortified UA.
Yeah.
It's a complete defense force. It has like so much armor, so much artillery.
Yeah, it's got some bullshit crazy
like stuff. Tunnels that lead to different schools and pathways, and with
the buildings can sink and transfer into what the fuck? Yeah, when did you build this?
It's basically like designed to fight Shigaraki's decay.
Yeah,
which is like interesting, because like the traitor is still out there.
Yeah,
and it's starting, like, for a while that subplot was kind of forgotten about, but now it's coming back into play. Like, is the principal the traitor? How does he know so much about decay? Like,
right?
How does it work? Like, what's going on?
And then tie back what I was starting before is that they've learned that All Might is basically helping Deku.
As well.
And Bakugo is like, you stupid idiot. It's like, don't you realize that's the worst pairing you can do? Because they're just going to keep going. All Might's not going to stop him when he needs to stop. So, like, you get to now where Class 1A has found Deku. And it's like, listen, we want to help you. You know, we can be here with you and help your fight. And Deku's like, no. I gotta do this myself.
He's just not having it at all.
No. And it becomes Class 1A versus Deku.
Now, this was cool, but I was sad because it ended the Deku Batman arc, which is, you know, unfortunate, because I really enjoyed that arc. But they fight him, and you really see the power of Deku, because Deku, number one, is not even trying. Because he doesn't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
Two, he's tired and he hasn't really rested at all. And, it, you know, he's just not at full capacity, right?
Right.
But it still takes the full might of all of 1A to just even catch him.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? To catch up to his speed. So Deku at this moment in time is just full throttle OP.
Yeah. He's super busted.
He's super busted. But they do end up getting him. And we have this really nice moment with Bakugo, where Bakugo, for the first time ever, calls Deku by his name and says, Izuku, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering if I had an image. Oh, well, there's
that. There's a Class A versus Class A versus Deku, pretty much.
My favorite line is, before the fight started, Bakugo was like, what's happened to you, man? You're literally drawn different than the rest of us. Like, what the hell? And you, like, look at it. It's like, on the left, you have My Hero Academia. On the right, you have Berserk.
Like, yeah, I know. It's like the detail, the decrepitness of it. It's just like, he looks like a monster.
Yeah. And yeah, I'll put that image in post, but like, Bago finally apologizes for everything, which is like,
right?
And I mean, if you like have any idea for like literary tropes and storylines, you're like, yeah, I could see that eventually happening, but still, like, after everything that's happened, it finally felt like, now it's finally here.
It's like they're friends, you know. It's full circle. They're friends. They're there for each other.
Well, it's like Bakugo actually cares about him.
Yeah.
And wow,
it was powerful. It was a really good moment. It ends up convincing Deku to
finally step down.
Finally step down and come back to UA.
Yeah. But just because his friends want him back doesn't mean everyone else wants him back. So like, he gets brought back and all the citizens who are in the UA safety barrier are like, hell no, get him out of here. The League of Villains are after him. Like, no. And it's like, but he's like, he just let him rest for like a day, like, you know, just let him, like,
give him a little time to clean up and stuff. And Ochako has like this big speech.
Yeah, Ochako finally has a good moment, which is nice, because main heroine would be good to have a...
Yeah, I mean, she had that moment with Toga. We didn't really go over it within the war.
Yeah, I mean...
Because it was kind of... It kind of fell flat for me.
It wasn't as... It was more... Well, it's kind of important. It's more important for Toga than...
Ochako.
But for Ochako, it's kind of important now. If that makes sense.
So, just to... We're going to flash back into the war arc. During the evacuation and during the villain retreat, Toga ends up finding Ochako because she wants to talk to Ochako and Deku about hero society and what it means to be a hero.
Right.
Because of what happened with Twice, and she likes those two characters, right?
Right.
So, she talks to Ochako. She's trying to, you know, talk to Ochako, like, is this how it is? Like, I'm this way because of this, this, and that, you know? And Ochako's, like, not having it at all. She's like, yo, it doesn't matter about your upbringing or what happens. Your choices now or what define you and what you're doing right now, I have to stop you. And it's pretty much not really listening to Toga, and you see Toga kind of smile, cry, and be like, yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
And then she dips out, and that's the last you see of her for now. But Ochako, like, looking in hindsight, realized she didn't handle it the way she should have handled it, and now she's kind of like taking that and carrying it with her for the future. And then you see now that she's talking to the group of people trying to convince them to let Deku stay.
Yeah,
and she's carrying that with her.
Yeah, and it was honestly a really good speech of sorts.
Yes, it was. It shows another moment of Deku and Ochako, you know, being a thing.
Yeah, in the future. Probably. I mean, their conversation afterwards, because like she does convince the people to let them through, and it's a really nice moment. And especially because like you have Koto, the boy from the camp arc, and one of the heteromorphs people, civilians that Deku saved earlier. Rush out to Deku as he like breaks down crying, and it's like, oh,
it's sweet, you know, sweet. His fans essentially.
Yeah, but like Ochako and Deku have a moment later where they're talking, and it's kind of like they're having similar thoughts, where like Ochako is like, I realize Toga's done really bad things and she's like murdered people and that's not okay, but part of me also realizes like I kind of want to save her too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that nice like paradigm shift. It's like now Ochako and Deku are kind of in the same brainwave of like wanting to save them instead of just completely stop them.
So Deku is, you know, at UA, they're resting, they're going to train, and they're going to get ready.
Yep.
So now we get a moment where All Might is near UA, about to reconvene with everyone.
Yeah.
And he gets a, you know... A tap on the shoulder, so to speak, from Stain.
Did I put a picture of that? No, I didn't.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. I'll go get him. Hang on. You know what Stain looks like. Big, creepy smile. Has no nose for some reason.
He cut it off, I think.
Is that actually what happened?
Yeah, I think in Vigilantes he cut it off.
Well, all right. You do you, Stain. But, essentially, you see what happened because he was also in Tartarus at that time. And, like, he manages to get information from the one of this, like, this downed guard, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he decides that he's going to deliver to the only man he trusts,
All Might, though. But he basically gives All Might a pep talk. Like, All Might's feeling pretty down on himself. You know, Hero Society has fallen. You know, everything he built is gone. All Might can't help Deku because he's a weakling in his mind. And Stain is like, yo, this isn't All Might that I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only the true All Might can kill me.
Because he's been in the prison for a while, so he doesn't even know about All Might's secret and stuff. So it's like, you're not All Might. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. So it's like this big thing that's like, does he recognize All Might? Does he not? Is he just trying to be metaphorical with him in general? And they have like this long talk because Stain is not, even though Stain is a villain, he's not a villain. Like, he's not looking for anarchy. He's not looking for destruction. He just wants heroes to be true heroes. And that's pretty much all that's left. Like, anyone who is a fake hero or doing it for alternative reasons is no longer around anymore.
Well, they have all quit. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty much the only true heroes remain. So he gives All Might a pep talk. All Might realizes that, you know, he needs to be better, and Stain gives him a knife with a note on there with information.
Well, not only that, it's like he's got like an SD card. Oh, because the note is actually like, they described it as like it's a love letter to All Might from Stain, essentially. I think what's also really important too is that you see you see, I'm gonna see if I can find it. This one? Nope. This one. You see the statue because it's nearby, and you see this woman run up, and like, because Stain has basically pulled all my behind like rubble, and it's like, watch what happens. And you see this lady climb up the All My statue and take down the I'm not here sign.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize,
and she's like cleaning it because I think it was vandalized.
Yeah. And you realize it's the last person he saved. It's the lady who was trapped in rubble during the fight with All For One. And it's like, if she still believes there's hope, like that, you can't let that ember die.
So. Yeah. Like you have to continue forward and bring it back in a new way.
Yeah.
Together. So like, you know, like it goes back to the themes, like you can't do it alone, like All Might tried to do.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to make a new hero society that's built on more than just one person's peace, you know,
right,
in general.
Yeah.
And that brings us to America. So during this time, there's this big talks within the nations to send, help to Japan, because Japan is in ruin, right?
Yeah.
So there's been blockages and different things that have gotten in the way, but Star and Stripe decides to say, fuck it, and just goes anyway.
Yeah, so she is the number one hero for the United States.
Yes.
And she's literally flying on the back of a fleet of, like, stealth bombers.
Yeah.
And she's, like, and, like, the commissioner for the United States is like, yeah, our hero kind of just left. Like, we didn't even get the chance to, like, brief her or anything.
Yeah, and All For One is scared. Oh, I'm glitching again.
Uh-oh.
I'm lagging hard. We'll be right back. We're back.
Yep.
All right, so All For One is scared of this chick because of her quirk. He said this is the only chick that is foiling his plans, and if he can get her quirk, he doesn't even need One For All.
Yeah.
So clearly she's broken.
Yeah.
So what he does is that he actually sends Shigaraki after her.
Yeah.
And they fight.
Yeah, and it's this midair battle over the outskirts of Japan, and it's like you find out her quirk. And her quirk is stupid.
It's called New Order.
It's so fucking busted.
It's crazy.
So basically, the rule is, ironically, is that she basically just says, like, for example, this air, like, the air in front of me, like 100 feet in front of me, no longer exists or whatever.
She can break reality.
Yeah, essentially. It's so
busted. Anything that she creates as an order becomes reality. She could say, my arm is now the size of the rocks, and it becomes The Rock Johnson's arm, yeah. For example.
Yeah.
She could say, there is no more oxygen in the atmosphere in this region.
Yeah.
Now there's no more oxygen.
The air can take the shape of me, but it's like 20 times my size, you know? And it's like, what the fuck?
So it takes her life energy to do such. So like she has, hello?
Oh my God. What just happened? What just happened?
Hello. So mid-sentence, we're having a bunch of technical issues at the end of this video. So we're going to wrap it up with the introduction of Star and Stripe, the American hero. She's about to fight off with Shigaraki. If you want to find out what happens next time, look out for our next part 4, our final part of the My Hero Story So Far series. We appreciate everything of that nature. Make sure that you give us a like, a sub, and a comment.
Yes.
It does help us out a lot. Follow us on our Twitter, our Instagram, and our actual TikTok that's being used.
Yeah. Links are in the description.
To show some support. We do appreciate you guys listening to every audio, listening to watching every video, you know, just
being supportive.
Being supportive and being there, you know. Some of you we've met.
Actually, yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to have that be a thing. We're very grateful, and we just hope this keeps going, you know, and the train, you know, there's only one way, and it's up.
Yeah.
You know, we appreciate that. So once again, thank you guys. I'm Jake.
I'm Michael.
Peace. We'll be right back.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.